Ellie back here. Welcome back to my podcast. So today I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, because last podcast I was not able to finish it. I'm sure that this podcast I will be able to. So let's dive back in. So Ron was ready to go to bed, and he was still holding that diary which did not belong to Harry, an empty one. He just said, we'll look at this better a little bit later, like maybe tomorrow. But right now, I need to get some sleep. He yawned in the middle because he was pretty sleepy. It took a long time to clean Harry's room. And so then Ron just left the diary onto the bed with Harry on it. And he went to his own bed in the dormitory. Harry took the diary before sleeping, just to have a good look in it. And when he opened it, just as Ron said, yes, it was empty when Harry opened it. He thought that maybe it has invisible ink. I don't know why he thought this, but to reveal the invisible ink, but he took some ink and wrote on it. I know, took some ink and wrote on it. I'm pretty sure that does not reveal invisible ink. With the invisible ink pen, it comes a little flashlight, so he can't use that, of course. But there was no invisible ink. When Harry wrote, "Hi, my name is Harry Potter," someone else wrote back, probably at the same time, because it was also writing pretty slow. It was not, like, appearing quickly. It wrote that, "Hello, Harry Potter. My name is Tom Marvolo Riddle." Tom Marvolo Riddle. Weird name, but let's continue. Harry wrote back, "Hi, Tom. I think I might need your help." Because he got this idea in his head that if Tom was writing right now, this diary looked pretty old. He probably made it at his times at Hogwarts. Maybe that was about 50 years ago when the Chamber of Secrets opened. He thought that maybe he knew what creature was in the Chamber of Secrets or any person who would do the writing on the wall beside Miss Norris. So then Tom wrote back, "What do you need with help, Harry?" Harry wrote back, a big conversation, okay? Harry wrote back, "I know that 50 years ago, the Chamber of Secrets had been opened because, well, that's what it said in Hermione's book." And Harry continued that, "So I thought that maybe you could help me." Then surprisingly, Tom did know who opened the Chamber of Secrets. Tom wrote back, "Of course I know who opened the Chamber of Secrets. When do you think this book was made?" Then Harry wrote back, "That's great. Can you write to me the name who did it?" Then Tom wrote back, "Oh my God. Why write to you when I can just show to you?" Then the book dropped out of Harry's hand and he got sucked in. Yes, sucked into the book. And he landed in what seemed like an old Hogwarts. The book was no longer with him, so he just walked around trying to find his way back to the dormitory. He thought, this must have somehow accidentally happened. He thought that maybe Tom's spell went wrong. But surprisingly, at nighttime, because, well, at Harry's time, it was nighttime, the hallway was crowded with people. Harry thought they should be in their dormitories by now, so he stepped in front to tell one girl. But instead, he looked to the stairs and he saw someone. On his name tag, it said Tom Marvolo Riddle. So, Tom was walking up the stairs. Harry got through the crowd like a ghost. Not some ghost. Somehow like a ghost. And he went to Tom. But again, Tom couldn't hear him or feel him because... forget it. Then some principal came because... he was wearing that, like, tie that Dumbledore has, which says it's probably a principal. And so, the principal said, looking at Harry and Tom, "Tom, you wanted to speak to me. Come along, then." Of course, Harry was a ghost. No one could even see him, too. And so, Harry thought this must be something important that Tom wanted to talk to the principal about. But he knew it must have also been private. But when did he ever care about that? So he followed the old principal and Tom up the stairs to the office. It looked just like Dumbledore's office, except instead of all the like pictures, it had some different one. Instead of Dumbledore's pictures, it had some different pictures. Everything else looked exactly the same. And also there were new documents, not Dumbledore's documents. So, Tom sat down in the chair in front of the desk, and the principal sat behind the desk. And he said that, "What did you want to tell me, Tom?" Then Tom said, "Okay, I'm just going to change voices and you're probably going to guess who it is." So Tom said, "Well, I know we've had some students turning to stone lately. I think I might know who opened the Chamber of Secrets." The principal was so shocked. Well, then he said, "Well, what are you waiting for? Tell the name." But before, Harry was probably like leaning forward like a dog who hadn't eaten for days. But then, suddenly, he got sucked into one of the principal's documents and fell out of a doorknob. Yes, a doorknob. And he saw Tom pointing his wand at a kid, which looked like a young Hagrid. Except, of course, without the beard, because he was so young. About Tom's age. So, Tom was pointing at the wand at Hagrid, and Hagrid was in front of a chest. You'll see why I had to tell you that a little bit later. And then Tom said, "I'm sorry, Hagrid, but I have to blame you about opening the Chamber of Secrets because there is no one else nearer to blame." And so, after pointing the wand at Hagrid, Tom then pointed the wand at the chest behind him. Told you it would be important. Which had a spider-like lock. Harry was sure that if Ron was with him, he would be shivering by now. And he unlocked it and a million spiders came out. Harry knew that it was best that Ron wasn't here. And sure, he should not tell the spider part about the memory when he's telling it to Ron and Hermione. So then, Harry got sucked back into the doorknob and off bounced on the bed. The book was now on the table. Ron had lifted it because he and Hermione were staring at Harry. Then Harry said, "What?" Ron said, "Good morning." Then Hermione was like, "Ron, Harry, are you okay? Ron said that he heard some whoosh, and then you were nowhere. The book was just on the bed. What happened?" Then Harry told Hermione and Ron the whole story of what happened, what he saw, except the spider part. He told about the spider lock, though. He just didn't tell what was in the chest, because it was not so important. Then Hermione said, "Well, at least we know a little bit of other puzzle piece, but I know Hagrid well, and so do you guys. We know he would never stoop to something like that." Then Harry said that, but remember, Riddle said that there's no one to blame but you. So either someone Riddle knows did it, who told Riddle not to tell anyone, or he himself did it. Harry reminded that to Ron and Hermione. Or else, why would Riddle even want to blame anyone? And so, Ron said, "Well, we'll discuss about this later. But come on, we've got to go to Hagrid's." So, Harry, Ron, and Hermione set off to Hagrid's because it was already morning. Yes, Harry didn't get any sleep. So he was a little bit tired. When they reached Hagrid's, they went in. And Hagrid was in a chair. Fang was barking. Remember his dog Fang, which accompanied Malfoy and Harry in the Forbidden Forest last year? So Fang was barking a little bit, but then when he saw it was just Hermione, Ron and Harry, frequent visitors, he ran away to Hagrid. And Hagrid said, "Hermione, Ron, Harry, come on along in." And so Harry, Hermione and Ron came in, but then there was another knock at the door. "Quick, put on your invisibility cloak," said Hagrid. And so Harry and Ron put on the invisibility cloak and went near the kitchen counter. Then came in some big person, and he was accompanied by two people. I don't remember their names or anything about them. And there was also Dumbledore in the back. So it's kind of like one person, behind him two people, at the back Dumbledore. Kind of like that. And so that person came in, the front one, and he said that, "Hagrid, nice to meet you," and put his hand out for Hagrid to shake. Hagrid did shake it, but it seemed like that person almost took off from the ground like a rocket. Because as everyone knows, Hagrid is really big and really strong too. Because he's actually, leave that. So then Hagrid said that, "Hi, Cornelius." And then Cornelius said, "Nice to meet you, Hagrid," even though he already said that, he said it again. And so, let me just tell you this. Cornelius Fudge is the full name. Being the Minister of Magic is his game. Do you understand that? Cornelius Fudge is the Minister of Magic. You know the Ministry of Magic? I think you do. So there's something called the Ministry of Magic, and Cornelius Fudge is the Minister of Magic. Little bit confusing probably, but anyways, so Cornelius said that we are here to do an inspection. Then Dumbledore said that we're here for an interview, Hagrid, as my gamekeeper, since the Chamber of Secrets has been opened. We know why you expelled 50 years ago, Dumbledore said. And so Hagrid was like, "It was a mayor." So then Cornelius again was like, "Well, Hagrid, as we are here to do an inspection, we'll be looking around for proof. Because last few years, 50 years ago, we are not very sure you're the one." So then Cornelius stepped a little bit around, just a little bit around. He went a little bit close to Ron, Hermione and Harry, who were draped under the cloak. Harry was scared that their ankles and feet might be showing. And so they were like also leaning to the wall because Cornelius was getting pretty close to them. And then he went back. Luckily and unluckily, he went back and said, "Hagrid, you are sentenced to years in Azkaban." Then everyone left with apparition in a puff of smoke. Dumbledore, the two people who were accompanied with Cornelius, they left in a puff of smoke. Then Hagrid sank into a chair. Hermione, Ron and Harry still didn't come out because they could still see Cornelius inspecting the windows for some reason. Then finally, when those four left, they came out. Hermione said, "Oh, Hagrid, we're so sorry. If we knew about this, we would never have come. Because, well, it might have got them in a little bit of trouble. But good thing Harry had that cloak." Anyways, then Ron said, "Yeah, we never would have come, Hermione, wouldn't we?" So, Harry said, I can't believe Cornelius just did that. Because anyways, he did just walk a few steps towards the kitchen counter. How could he have found any proof in the kitchen counter? So, that was pretty unfair. And then they had to go back. Hermione hurried back because she had a class. Harry and Ron had a free period because Hermione takes some extra classes, especially in her third year. So, Harry and Ron were going back, except they saw some spiders. Spiders. So, Harry said that, well, Ron, I kind of forgot to tell you because I thought you were going to be scared. But, well, Riddle opened that spider lock and out of it came spiders. I think that spiders flee before the creature in the Chamber of Secrets. So maybe this will lead us to that creature. Come on. Ron was like, wait, what? Huh? So then he followed Harry. And so then they followed the spiders. Harry had a lantern which he borrowed from Hagrid just in case because it was really dark out. And so Ron was like, why did it have to be follow the spiders? Why can't it be follow the butterflies? Sorry, Ron, said Harry, and they followed the spiders to a giant egg. That was no egg. That was a giant spider. And a mockadel, whatever. It was something like that. There was this big conversation. I'll try to tell it to you. So, let me tell about this mockadelia named Aragog. So, Aragog was a pet of Hagrid's. Hagrid had Aragog ever since he hatched out of his egg. I didn't know that Amarcantalias are born in eggs. So, Aragog, that spider, he was a pet of Hagrid. And Hagrid left him in the forest because Aragog was bigger than Hagrid's hut. Even if Aragog couldn't even fit in there, like Hagrid couldn't fit into the Dursley's home. Remember, last year when Hagrid came, he couldn't fit into the Dursley's home much. And so, Aragog said, spiders, eat friends of Hagrid. I don't know why. Did Hagrid betray Aragog or something? I think Aragog was just cranky of living in the woods and mad that Ron and Harry were friends of Hagrid. Then all the spiders came. Some groups were made. And then they became a little bit bigger. Like 10 quarters of... Like 59 quarters of those will make the big Aragog. That's how big they were. Because Aragog is really, really big. That's why I even said 59. Anyways. So all the spiders came charging at Harry and Ron. Then Ron was like, can we panic now? And then Harry looked around for something that could protect him from the spiders. And then he pointed at the flying car. Yes. Remember the Whomping Willow when Harry and Ron got out and they were running back to Hogwarts? The car was thrown by the Whomping Willow into this desert. Which probably was also another reason Aragog got angry. It probably flew in Hagrid's direction, hit his hut, and hit Aragog. So Aragog must have thought that Hagrid has thrown that. That's a guess, okay? So maybe that's why he was mad with Hagrid. Because it was pretty close to Aragog. Then Harry said, over there, the flying cars crashed beside this giant spider. Then Ron said, you said giant spider. That was a mistake, right? You don't mean we have to go beside the giant spider, do you? Then Harry said, yes, pulling Ron towards the car. They went in, but a million holes were coming out by Aragog's feet. Ron tried to dodge them by driving, except he was way too scared. And finally, Harry helped a little in the back seat. And then finally, he literally sat beside Ron and drove himself. Ron's face was stuck to the glass. Not the front glass, but the side door glass. And so, Harry drove the way out. A few spiders came on that, but none were on the door, so Harry and Ron couldn't get out. That car was so broken now. They broke the wheels while coming. Good thing it was flying, right? So they ran back. They said, "We need to ask Hermione what that creature is. She must know. Maybe it's the creature which is in the Chamber of Secrets. Remember, it said spiders flee before it. Could that mean that the creature is a spider? Come on, quick!" So Harry and Ron ran up to the castle and they bumped into Professor McGonagall. They already looked in the class where Hermione was supposed to be, but she wasn't there. That class had already ended. So they knew she went to the library. So they also checked there, but she wasn't there either. They were going to the girls' dormitory when they bumped into Professor McGonagall. Then Harry and Ron asked Professor McGonagall, "Professor, have you seen Hermione anywhere?" Then Professor McGonagall said, "Oh yes, she's in the hospital wing." Harry and Ron looked at each other and hurried to the hospital wing. She couldn't have. She wouldn't have. She's too smart to have. But she was. She was petrified. Petrified. Hermione Granger was petrified. "I knew you two would drop by sometime," said a familiar voice behind Harry and Ron. It was Madame Pomfrey, the one who runs the hospital wing. "But don't worry, I've told Dumbledore. I'll let you in on the surprise a little bit later. For now, you can catch up with Hermione." Yeah, you probably think Madame Pomfrey is the weirdest person in Hogwarts. She said, "Catch up with Hermione." She was a statue. She was petrified. Ron sat beside Hermione. "How could this have happened?" Madame Pomfrey said, "This was found in her hand." And she showed like a magnifying glass with golden etching and lots of sparkles. Who cares about that, sorry? Anyway. And Harry looked at Hermione closely. There must have been another clue. They needed one. She was in the library. Maybe there was a book with her about the Chamber of Secrets, because she did say that she was going to do a little bit of research. So she was probably researching on the Chamber of Secrets. I don't think on the subject that she was doing. So they didn't find any book in her bag, saddlebag, which was found in her. Why did I say saddlebag? She didn't ride any horses. So every student is like given a little bag to keep their books and all, you know. So in that bag, there was no library book which she borrowed from Man Prince, the runner of the library. But then Harry saw something. One hand was holding a mirror in front of her, but the other hand was clapped to her chest. And that hand had a little piece of paper which looked like, I don't know, a note? Yes, it was a note. Harry took the note carefully out of Hermione's clapped hand to her chest and was really careful. Like, when I say careful, I mean really careful. Because it was really hardly clapped to her chest, probably so that the creature or person who did this to her couldn't get hold of it. So it must have been something special, hopefully, Ron and Harry thought, about the Chamber of Secrets. So, it was not folded. It was a big piece of paper, which means she has a big hand, anyways. And it, like, said, "The Chamber of Secrets." I'll read it out to you. I mean, say it out to you, because I don't know what it said, but I'll tell as much as I can remember. "The Chamber of Secrets," it was titled that. "The Chamber of Secrets was opened 50 years ago by you know who. You know who. You know who." You probably don't know who. You're probably thinking, you know who was in. You know who. I mean Voldemort. Voldemort. Everyone was scared to say the name Voldemort, so they made a nickname for him, you know who. And like also for the Philosopher's Stone, you know what. Remember? And so it said you know who. That means it was right. Hagrid did not open it. But then Ron said, maybe it means you know who, as in the person who wrote this didn't know, but he or she thought that you knew, whoever is reading this. Probably not, Ron, said Harry, because not many people write you know who in the books. They don't write the books until they get the real answer. So this was probably just the nickname of Voldemort. And so, Harry kept on reading. Spiders flee before, like I was correct. And a basilisk is trapped in the Chamber of Secret. It is a giant type of snake, which has deadly yellow eyes. When you look into them, you instantly die. The last girl murdered was a mudblood. You know who loves to kill mudblood, so he's been doing it for the past year, ever since the Chamber of Secrets was opened. So, it continued on saying that, but when you look at its reflection or through something, you instantly become stone. Here's an example. Say you are holding a clear glass and suddenly the basilisk appears in front of you. Then you suddenly turn to stone or get petrified. This is the same thing. And so, Harry said that, wait, it said that the last girl murdered 50 years ago was a mudblood in the girl's bathroom. What if that girl never left the girl's bathroom? What if it was Mourning Myrtle? Maybe the entrance of the basilisk is in the girl's bathroom. Come on, Ron. So Harry pulled Ron from the seat beside Hermione, which was also beside the stool which was Norris was put on. But then Man from Fee stopped them and said, oh, and boys, I'll let you in on one little surprise. She looked around to make sure no one was there to hear her. The kids who were still able to hear were a little bit far away, over in the section where Harry and Ron were. It was only the petrified kids, so they couldn't hear it. Well, actually, Miss Sprout, you know Miss Sprout? That's the herbology teacher, the subject that Neville is really good in. The only subject. So, I forgot to tell you, but actually, Miss Sprout, she had taught the kids this class while Hermione was not petrified. She had taught them this class where they learned about mandrake roots. Mandrake roots, these were baby mandrake roots. When they become older, okay, I shouldn't say older, when they become bigger, then when they scream a lot, when they scream, they can kill. But these were just baby mandrake roots, so they couldn't kill yet. But they can make someone faint out. So they still had to wear ear masks. And then Neville fell down while he was wearing ear masks. And then Seamus said, Professor, I don't think that's because of the mandrake roots. I'm pretty sure he just fainted. Like, because of himself. I'm pretty sure that he was scared of mandrake roots. So, Madame Pomfrey continued that, with the help of those mandrake roots, I have found a remedy which can bring your friend, the ghost, the cat, and some other friend of your friends back to life. That's great, said Harry, but Madame Pomfrey, we have to go somewhere in a hurry, but hope you make that remedy quick. Come on, Ron. And he pulled Ron out to Gilderoy Lockhart's office. Well, he did start dueling club, right? So maybe he knows some spells of Flitwick, and we don't know. So they got Professor Lockhart, and he was really shivering. And they went to the girls' bathroom. This is a weird question that Harry asked, but he asked Moaning Myrtle a pretty sad question. He asked, "How did you really die, Myrtle?" And then Moaning Myrtle said that, she's not shy. She just sounds like this, okay? Well, I was walking in the toilet, but then one boy was teasing me on the glasses. I hid in this very same cubicle, and I kept on hearing shouts, so I went out to tell the boy, "Mind your own business." But when I went out, there were great big yellow eyes that felt serious pain and died. So that's how Moaning Myrtle died? Seriously? Those yellow eyes. They have got to be the basilisk. So, Myrtle, when she said big yellow eyes, she was pointing in front of the sink. Harry went there and he saw a serpent tongue. Serpent is a big type of snake. And I also forgot to tell you, I think I probably told you about the dueling club. So, in the dueling club, Harry notices a parcel tongue, which means you can talk to snakes. So, Harry said, "Look, it's a serpent's tongue. Parcel tongue. Maybe you need to talk parcel tongue to unlock the sink thing." So, Harry said, "Open." But didn't work. Then he said something completely weird. He said, "Slasly, lusk." Something like that. And then finally it opened. It was like a big black hole, except it didn't get bigger and it wasn't swirling. Then Gilderoy was like, "I'll leave you two boys to it. I'll be here with Myrtle." But then they pushed Gilderoy in together. And Moaning Myrtle said, "And Harry, if you die down there, you'll be able to share my cubicle." "Thanks, Moaning Myrtle," said Harry, "but I don't think it'll be needed." Harry jumped in and then Ron jumped in. So they fell to a really rocky place. Then a lot of rocks fell and there was a short avalanche, not so dangerous. Harry, Ron and Gilderoy just had to stay where they were. And Harry was separated from Ron and Gilderoy in that avalanche, so now he couldn't see them. Ron said with Gilderoy, "We'll try to move the rocks while you go. Come on, go save my sister." Because Ginny was actually taken. There was some other writing on the wall too, which said, "Ginny Weasley is taken. Her skeleton will lie in the chamber forever." And so, Harry shook his head and went. But before he went, Gilderoy did something. He did something weird. He did the memory charm. The memory charm is a bibble. It allows you to, like, forget about something. In the seventh, don't tell that, say. Anyways, so Gilderoy yelled the spell. Oh, Bivoli, that's the memory charm. He was pointing it at Ron, but accidentally he pointed it at himself. The handle was pointing at Ron. And then he forgot everything. "I'll take care of him," said Ron, waving. "Okay," said Harry, and he ran in the opposite direction of where the avalanche happened, trying to find Ginny. and he found her in an even rockier place. But it had a little bit of water where someone could drink from. But he thought, just leave it. It might be pretty dangerous. So, Harry saw a little girl lying down on the floor. It was Ginny. Her wand was out of reach. Then stepped out someone. You could only see his silhouette. But he stepped one more place forward and you could see who it was. It was Tom Marvolo Riddle. Then Harry said, Tom, I know what you did. I know that Voldemort opened the Chamber of Secrets. Harry was already pointing his wand at Tom, like Tom was pointing his wand at Hagrid. And so, Tom said that, well, Harry, I was bored of trying to kill Muggleborns, and now my target has become you. Then, Tom also got out his wand, and instead of pointing it at Harry, he pointed at the, normal atmosphere beside him. And he started waving it, and it started to write the name Tom Marvolo Riddle. Then he said to Harry, watch. He flicked his wand once and the letters started to shuffle and it became Tom Marvolo Riddle to I am Lord Voldemort. Then Tom took his hand, one with the wand, one without, and he rose them up. Then came out, according to the hands, a basilisk. Yes, the basilisk. Harry closed his eyes as fast as he could. Because, well, you know. And so, Tom said that, oh, and your principal has sent this. He snapped his fingers and Fox came flying with the sorting hat. Fox, caw, caw, he said. And he dropped the sorting hat in front of Harry. That's what your little old faithful principal can give you, is it? Well, I have this. And his hand was pointing to the basilisk. Ginny was still on the floor, probably unconscious. But Harry had bigger things to worry about than Ron's sister. He put his hand on the sorting hat. He didn't know what he could do with it, but he actually felt something. It was like a handle. He kept hold on it and took the tip of the sorting hat. He pulled it out and it was Gryffindor's sword. Gryffindor's sword. Only a true Gryffindor can pull that out. But Harry didn't know that yet. He didn't even know what he was going to do with the sword, but he knew it would be useful, hopefully. And so, he ran up some staircases, which suddenly appeared, I don't know why. And he ran up to some place, which was like a rock, which was attached to the wall. The staircases started disappearing, so he ran faster onto that little rock place. Then the basilisk rose from the water completely. Now its legs were also out. Who knew a snake had legs? Well, this basilisk does. And so, Harry took his sword and his eyes were still closed. The basilisk had opened his mouth to eat Harry, but Harry put the sword through the basilisk's mouth and started pointing out to the edge. He opened his eyes, making sure not to make eye contact, but make teeth contact. So he looked at his slimy teeth. He took the sword out and the basilisk fell before Harry could even look up. And so, yes, Harry Potter, the boy who lived, soon will be the chosen one, had defeated a basilisk. And so then, you know the diary that Harry had found? The person who messed the room was actually Ginny. She was the one who opened the Chamber of Secrets. I'll tell you that a little bit in detail later. So then finally, Harry went down. He took the book from Ginny to make sure it doesn't cause any more trouble. because Harry thought that's what was controlling her, probably. Maybe it had the Imperius curse on it. You understand that later. Super later. And so, Harry took that diary, and then Tom said, "Great!" And he was giggling. "What's so great?" Harry said. And then he felt a little bit of pain on his arm. Then Tom said that, "Finally, you're dying." Yes, he said dying. Because in Harry's arm, there was a basilisk fang, which was really, really poisonous. And so, Riddle said, "Can't you feel it?" "Well, all I feel is the excitement." But then, Fox came. Tom was still talking to himself, like, "Congratulations, Ron, congratulations, Tom, you're great, Tom and all." Fox came, and his tears started dripping on Harry's hand. Then Harry replied to Tom, "Well, if this is dying, this is not really bad." Then Tom looked back, stopped congratulating himself, and he looked at Harry. "Of course, phoenix feathers." He ran at Fox and he was going to shoo him away before Harry's whole hand could be cured, because Harry had already took the fang out. And so, before Riddle could reach Fox, Harry took out the fang and then the book under it. Tom stopped running and said, "You wouldn't dare," because I'm pretty sure he knew what Harry was going to do. But Harry, of course, said, "Of course I will." And he shot the fang into the notebook. And even Riddle started dying. But this couldn't stop Voldemort, could it? Of course not. He'll appear again later. You'll see. And Riddle started disappearing piece by piece. Harry kept on keeping the fang in until Riddle disappeared completely. And by then, Harry's hand was also cured completely. Yay! And Ginny finally woke up too. She told Harry the whole story of how she had opened the Chamber of Secrets. She had written that writing with blood beside Miss Norris. But there was a curse on the diary which told her to do all this. Harry then knew it. Lucius Malfoy. But he wasn't so sure. He thought that Lucius Malfoy, the father of Draco Malfoy, had put the diary in Ginny's cauldron. Remember? In Flourish and Blots. He thought that that's what happened. So they went back. Harry explained everything to Dumbledore, because Ron had already cleared the entrance and they got out. Luckily, Harry was alive, because Moaning Myrtle... And so, it was the great ending, except it hadn't ended yet. There's a little bit more. So, Harry went to Dumbledore. He told everything what happened. So did Ginny. And she said she was so sorry. And Dumbledore told Ron that, "Ron, please send this letter to the Ministry of Magic. It's to tell that we're going to need our gamekeeper back." And so, that it was all such a great ending. But not so much yet. So, Harry also gave the book to Dumbledore and went out. Ginny had already gone with Ron to give the letter. And so, he met Dobby. Then, Harry got an idea. He told Dobby to turn around and he took one of his socks and wrapped it in the book. He didn't wrap the book in it. He wrapped the sock in the book. And so, he gave it to Dobby. "I want you to keep this." And also, Lucius Malfoy, he kept something in there. Then Malfoy came for some reason, which Harry did not know. You'll understand it later. And so, he said, "What are you doing with that book, Dobby?" Then Dobby turned around and opened the book, and he saw clothes. Okay, not clothes, a sock. Finally, he was free. He said, "Thank you, Master, thank you, I'm free." Then he ran out. And then Lucius took out his wand which was actually a sword. He took out the wand part and it became a sword. And then he pointed it at Harry and ran to him and said, "You lost my servant." The Malfoy servant. And also, then Dobby jumped in front of Harry and said, "You will not hurt Mr. Potter." Then Lucius backed up and ran away. He probably couldn't do the feat he was asked for. It was all such a great ending. Ginny was back, everyone was happy, Tom was gone, and Dobby was free. Four things great happened this year. And in the end, the kids were back too. Let's see. Well, Hermione, Miss Norris, Sir Nicholas Dimmesdale Warpington, aka Nearly Headless Nick, and Justin Flint Flinty, they were all back. It's a great ending. So, bye guys. See you next podcast. And stay in tune. Keep listening. See you later.